To the chapter we have been reading from the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus, it's the 11th chapter. For the past few Lord's days, we have been speaking about that set of types and pictures of the child of God. There are many pictures in Scripture. We have taken the picture of the vessel. The picture of the vessel must surely speak to the child of God. He is to be the vessel unto honor, and we spoke a little about that the first day. Then we talked about those vessels being carried all the way to Zion. Vessels that were counted, weighed, vessels that were not to be lost, but kept intact and brought safe at last before the Lord of Jerusalem. It was a picture of the believer's pilgrimage from the city of destruction to the celestial city. Last Lord's Day, we talked about the necessity of the vessel being covered all the time it was carried through the wilderness, and that was an important lesson for the Christian as well. Today, we speak about the earthen vessel. We read about the earthen vessel here in verse 33 of Leviticus 11. And every earthen vessel wherein to any of them falleth, whatsoever is in it shall be unclean. And ye shall break it. This 11th chapter of Leviticus is one which makes a difference between the clean and the unclean. You'll keep in mind, as I think I pointed out last Lord's Day, Israel is to be a special people. In all their multitudes, they are to recognize they belong to the Lord. They're to be a separated people from all the other nations that are on the face of the earth. And it is God's will for them, whether they always see it clearly or not, it's God's will for them to maintain a testimony. It may be clear to you, since God uses pictures in the Old Testament as well as precept to teach His people, that Israel is, in the Old Testament, a picture of the church. So what the Christian is now in the midst of the heathen, so the nation of Israel was back then in those early days. It was God's will that the wisdom of Israel would be noticed by the heathen, that their attachment to the Word of God would be noticed by the heathen, the difference in their styles of living would be noticed by the heathen. It was God's purpose then that Israel, in being a special people, would continue to be a witness for Him. In order for Israel to be a special people, they must make a difference between the clean and the unclean. I was reflecting while we were reading Leviticus 11 today that very probably our eating habits in this country and even our feelings of what would be appetizing and what is not appetizing are probably to be traced back to a chapter like this in the Bible. For the heathen and certainly man in his aboriginal condition will eat all sorts of offensive things, the sort of things we have been reading about in the list of the unclean in Leviticus 11. And why should we feel squeamish about eating a centipede or tackling a caterpillar? Why should we feel so ill at ease in thinking about that? I believe it's because we have learned something of the Scriptures. But to come away from that, it's God's will for Israel to see the difference all the time. They're in the wilderness, and all the time they're in the land of promise. There's a difference between the clean and the unclean. And when you look at Leviticus 11, you can see this yourself. In verse 43, ye shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth. If the creeping thing is an abomination in the sight of God, and we're talking about ceremonial uncleanness here, then Israel is not to make themselves abominable in God's sight. Verse 44, for I am the Lord your God. There is to be a difference in Israel. I am the Lord your God, and ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth,
the people of God were to be different. And in being different, they were to recognize their relationship with the Lord. It was because they belonged to the Lord, they were different. And because the Lord is saying, I am holy, they were themselves to be holy among the nations of the earth. Verse 45, For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. The Lord has separated them from Egypt. He has separated them to be a nation apart unto Himself. And this is ever a picture for the Christian. God has taken you out of the world. He has joined you to the Christ, the Savior, His own dear Son. And He means that you should be a witness and that you should make a difference between the clean and the unclean. Verse 47. Verse 47, above all, makes the purpose of the chapter abundantly clear. To make a difference between the unclean and the clean. This is the calling of the Christian, to make a difference. Please take this to heart. This is the lesson. This is the message of the chapter. This is the point to which we're striving all the time as we go through Leviticus 11, verse by verse, that God's people, in being a special people, were to make a difference. And there's no way you can be a Christian without making a difference. Not between the clean and the unclean. There must be a line of separation between the Christian and the world. And consequently, the lesson in Leviticus 11 is one for us to learn. We are to make a difference where God has made a difference. And the striking thing in Leviticus 11 is that while there is teaching about uncleanness and other matters throughout the books of the law, here in Leviticus 11, the Lord talks about His people and their eating habits. Even in a matter like this, they're to be different. That says to me that the Christian in many, many ways is to show the difference between himself and the ungodly. I think at the table, there should be a difference between the Christian and the world. You should learn to give the Lord thanks for your food. That is one distinguishing mark for the Christian, to give the Lord thanks for his food. Even in his eating, he's to be different. He's to make a difference in the Lord's name. Last Lord's Day, we spoke about Numbers chapter 19. The reference there was to death coming into the tent. We were saying there was no way that the family could keep death out. Inevitably, one grows old or another takes sick, and that sickness is unto death. So death must come into one of the tents of Israel. That coming in of death to the tent brought certain changes, just as it would bring changes now for death to come into our homes. Death brought sorrow and death brought loss. It brought about other changes. There was a very interesting thing we noticed last Lord's Day. When death came into the tent, death made everyone in the tent and everything in the tent unclean. Now, that was an astonishing thing. There would be a proportion of people in this congregation who were learning then something for the first time. That when death in the natural way came into the tent, uncleanness came into the tent as well. And everything in the tent was unclean. And every person in the tent, members of the family and friends who came to express sympathy, all were unclean inside the confines of that tent. Then there was another astonishing thing, perhaps even more astonishing. There was one exception. While all the plates and all the basins and all the cups and other items were unclean in the tent where death had entered, there was one vessel which was clean all the time. What an astounding thing. This vessel had a covering on it. The covering had to be tied into place. And if the covering was tied securely, then the vessel and everything in it was clean, even though death had prevailed in the tent. What a picture that is of the Christian. We spoke of the necessity for the Christian being covered all the time he's in the world. He must be able to shut himself off from the world, just as, let's say, the wheat in the vessel was not contaminated with the atmosphere of death. The lid was on the vessel. The lid was tied securely into place. And this is a picture of the believer. He's not to be like an open vessel, for the world is full of defilement. And instead of taking in everything that's in the atmosphere around him, he must be kept under the covering and protected all the while from that contamination. That's a picture of the believer in his life of sanctification. And the Lord is saying to you, you need to be covered every day you breathe. And you're going out and then you're coming in. That covering must be securely in place. Otherwise you'll be contaminated. But Leviticus 11 is different in its style of teaching. For Leviticus 11 has to do with food. Nowadays, there's freedom for you to have what you like. We'll come back to Leviticus, but for information, let's turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 3 tells us of some who will make certain conditions in religion, including forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving, of them which believe and know the truth. So, it is clear from 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3 that rules and regulations are not to be made outside of what Scripture itself requires. Thus, when the Roman Catholic Church forbids priests and nuns to marry, there is a regulation there that is not required in Scripture. If one decides to marry, providing the believer marries in the Lord, because the Scripture is very clear about that, you're not to marry, if you're a Christian, you're not to marry the ungodly, but you should marry one who belongs to the Lord. This is a rule in God's Word. But you have the option whether you may marry or not. And the church is not to make regulations of that sort. You can see also, you're not to command others to abstain from meats. If you must have coffee or if you like tea, that's your affair. If someone else doesn't want to drink coffee or doesn't want tea, again, that's their privilege. You can opt for all that you choose. In fact, you can have your bacon and your pork chops if that's what you like. You can even be like the French and try the snails as well. Here the Scripture is saying, every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Now, I would have a test there. If you serve me up some snails, I think I would have to say of it, I would prefer to refuse them. But the argument here is, getting away from likes and dislikes, that you can't refuse it on the point of religion. If you say, well, I don't care to eat caterpillars, I don't care to have frogs, I don't care to eat snails, I think the Lord allows you that option. But you can't say, I won't have snails and I won't have frogs because my religion prevents me from partaking there. No, that's not the case. It's simply a matter of your own likes and dislikes. But it can't be made a matter of religion. It may be true, however, to say if you must eat these things, you eat them at your own risk. Because the Lord has shown there is a difference even in those items of food that are available in the earth. But it's not a matter of religion. There's freedom in this. And the lesson in Leviticus 11 was to keep the people in the nation of Israel healthy. There must have been, I estimate, about 2.5 million people traveling all the while through the wilderness. It was necessary for them to maintain their health and their vigor. And the Lord showed them so clearly how they were to keep themselves free from contamination free very largely from outbreaks of disease. These laws governed their way of life with such preciseness that we can say it was a marvel how God looked after his people and preserved them. And even when it came to eating, the heathen didn't know any better. The Lord is saying, look, I made the creatures of the earth, those creatures that are suitable for food. I have provided them for you, and I now give you information respecting them. And the teaching of the Lord was right. However, the spiritual lesson is the Christian should appear in all things, even in the little things. He should appear as one who belongs to the Lord. This is a prayer you can offer. Lord, let my life always speak of the Savior. Let my life always be such as it will indicate a belonging to the Lord. Let it be clear in my walk that I belong to Thee. Let that testimony be maintained. But there's another point in the chapter. The desert is teeming with life. There are all sorts of little creatures in the desert. Nothing that the humble Israelite would want to use for food. There's the scorpion, the ugly rat, the horrible mouse, even the snail appears from the chapter to have existed in parts of the wilderness. Certainly there would be the tiny lizard darting about with tremendous speed, and all over the place, wherever Israel would move, these little lizards would exist. It was impossible to keep them out of the tent. The lizard would get in, or the creeping thing would get in. And somewhere among the thousands of tents that made up the family of Israel, somewhere in one of those tents, a little creature would get in, maybe clamber up to the shelves where the foodstuffs were kept, and that little creature would sicken and die. In the process of dying with unsteady movement, it would tumble off the shelf and fall down into the vessel standing below, a vessel perhaps full of wheat, a vessel containing water. There it would die. The teaching of the law is that vessel's unclean and everything in it. If it's a vessel of skin, a vessel of wood, a vessel of raiment, a vessel of sack, just whatever sort of vessel it is, verse 32 says, that vessel must be submerged in water. It must be thoroughly washed and kept unclean until the evening time. Thus the Lord is still saying, even in small things, the child of God must be careful to keep that line of division, even in small things. See the significance of this. The lizard is such a tiny wee thing. Or the chameleon isn't very big either. It may be the creeping thing, something like the centipede, just a small insect. But it can contaminate the whole vessel, although the vessel's full of wheat or full of water. All is unclean with a little thing. We tend to imagine, as believers now, that little things are of small account with God. We may know, certainly, that there is wrong in little things. And we say to ourselves, well, that might be wrong, but it's only a little thing. And because it's a little thing, it will not matter to the Lord whether it's right or wrong. Yet the teaching of Scripture here is that the little things do matter. There is defilement. There is uncleanness here. And God taught his people in days of old to wash the vessel through and through and make it clean. And furthermore, they had to recognize that that vessel was unclean all the day through until the evening time. However, in verse 33, there was a point of difference again. Every earthen vessel whereinto any of them falleth, whatsoever is in it shall be unclean, and ye shall break it. There's a difference here. The earthen vessel, I have said, is more than any other vessel a type of God's people. Let's just think of this. Your body is made of the clay. God speaks of the body of the Christian as a vessel more so than with any other vessel here. It's the earthen vessel that must represent the child of God. This earthen vessel, therefore, may represent you. There it stands in the tent. Is that a little lizard creeping across the shelf up there so high? But all is not well with that little creature. There's something wrong with it. It's sickening unto death. With that unsteady movement that we have described, see it tumbling down from off the shelf and it falls right into the earthen vessel. There's no use washing it. You may say, that's a lovely vessel. The family brought it up out of Egypt. We have kept it over these years. We value it. It's true. It's only an earthen vessel. It's not a vessel of copper or bronze or brass. It can't be as valuable as any of these vessels, but it's precious to us. Look at the ornamentation on it. This is a lovely thing, this earthen vessel. The law says, ye shall break it. Do you see that when the other vessel can be washed, this vessel of earth cannot be washed? It cannot be washed to make it clean. The uncleanness prevails. Death has entered. And when the uncleanness of death is there, all the washing in the world will not make it clean. Isn't the Lord saying that the old nature is still with you? Although you're a vessel in His house and a vessel that He has used in His service, yet because the vessel is made of clay, it's clay through and through. The uncleanness is still there. And the Catechism has reminded us that we sin every day. We sin in thought and in word and in deed. The vessel then must be broken. It can't be used when uncleanness enters. If you look at verse 32, toward the end of the verse, the vessel wherein any work is done, the vessel is unfit for use. It can't be employed by the master of the house once uncleanness attaches to the vessel. And the Lord cannot use you if uncleanness prevails. The vessel must be clean. This is why the covering had to be put upon the vessel. It's very interesting. The book of Genesis does not show clearly that the vessel had to be covered. The book of Exodus does not show clearly that the vessel had to be covered. The book of Leviticus, although it says the earthen vessel will have to be broken, should even a tiny little creature, should a spider get into the tent? Should the spider die? Should the spider fall into that earthen vessel? Everything in the vessel is unclean. It must be disposed of, and the vessel must be smashed to pieces. Uncleanness can't enter. There must be a difference. How strict these rules and regulations were. And in the governing of the household, a father or a mother would teach the children the necessity for all to be clean in the sight of God. The Lord had said, I am the Lord your God. Be ye holy as I am holy. And that commandment took them to tremendous extremes. All to show that there was a difference. Now, between them and those who are in the world. Oh, we have forgotten much of that. We don't have to carry out these ceremonial regulations any longer. But it is necessary for the Christian to remember that even in little things, he's to be different. If the Lord is speaking to you about some little matter in your life, do not disregard that thing because it's little in your eyes. Little things matter with God. He that pleases the Lord in that which is least will certainly be able to please Him in that which is greater. Don't despise the day of small things. And never think that a small thing is too little to do for the Lord, or that on the other hand, some small thing in your life won't matter much with Him. If it's wrong, it will. Little things lead to greater. And when you're disobedient to the Lord in some small thing, the Lord will not be able to trust you with anything greater. You must hold very, very closely to this. And in a marvelous way, in a remarkable way. The Lord is showing His people in the wilderness how that vessel has to be kept covered. Otherwise, should the spider fall into it and die, the wheat is unclean, or the water is unclean in that vessel, it must be smashed to pieces. Now, what does that signify? It signifies that if there's uncleanness in it, the vessel can't be used again. This verse 32, we have asked you to notice, relates to vessels wherein any work is done. Very, very powerfully, the Lord is saying the vessel can't be used. The vessel cannot be used if uncleanness comes to it. Can't be used. Is there a hindrance in your life? Is your testimony marred because of little things that are there? Like the dead lizard, like the dead centipede, like the dead spider, or the dead snail. The tiny little thing, this is astonishing. The tiny little thing can cause that earthen vessel to be smashed and broken. I have looked in the past few years at little things in the life of the Christian. I know in some cases a life of usefulness has been completely wrecked because that little thing was allowed to stay. You must be careful in this matter. Can we quickly look at the book of Haggai? There's an illustration in Haggai chapter 2. For last week, talking about the book of Numbers chapter 19, we came across that verse relating to the unclean person, that if he didn't get cleansed, if he didn't make himself clean in the sight of God, then whatever he touched, whether it was an article of furniture, or whether it was some item in among his belongings, whatever he touched, he would make that unclean. And we were saying then, this is the astonishing thing, wherever the unclean man goes, if he touches this article or that article, he communicates uncleanness. This was a lesson for the Christian as well. You can spread uncleanness just by the touch of your hand. We're speaking spiritually, of course. And we're saying that it's easier to communicate uncleanness than it is to communicate holiness. A very striking illustration occurs in the book of Haggai chapter 2. Haggai was to ask the priests of the law. Remember, the priests were to be expert in all the rules and regulations of the ceremonial law. And the question was asked in verse 12 of Haggai chapter 2. If one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment. Remember, the priest in his ceremonial dress would have these long robes on. And sometimes he would bend down and pick up what we'll call the skirts of his garment. With this volume, a huge volume of cloth then, which he's supporting by his hands, he was able to put various items into this if he didn't have a basket. Several loaves of bread, perhaps. Some other items, some fruit. He was able to heap into this garment as he carried it along. Now the question was this. If the article inside his garment carried in this way was holy, that is, if it was dedicated to God, if it was on the altar, and thus was carried, and if with his garments he touched other bread, and he touched pottage, or wine, or oil, or meat, the question is, would that meat, or that oil, or that wine, or that table, any article that you touched with your garment as you rushed through from one point to another, would you make it holy? That was a question for the priests. I don't think they had any problem getting the answer, for they said, quickly, no, it wouldn't make it holy. I have the article in my garments here that belongs to the Lord, and I treat that bread as holy, or that meat as holy, for already it has been on the altar, it has been dedicated to God. But if in going from point A to point B, I bump into this article or touch that article, no, I can't communicate holiness. The holiness doesn't rub off. Then Haggai said, verse 13, if one is unclean by a dead body, if he touch any of these, shall it be unclean? This is the astonishing thing. The priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. What a lesson. It does not belong to sinful man to spread holiness. He can't do it. But he can spread uncleanness. Do you know that the national newspapers bear testimony to that every day? Certain items come up in the news. One of my conversations yesterday just touched on this. Sometimes news programs are too detailed. If we refer to uncleanness or wickedness that is wrought on the earth, and other people who are so disposed to do wrong, they're learning from those things. And uncleanness can spread. Here we are in this road, we're preaching God's holy word. We've got a banner outside the church that tells men to get right, to get right, to get right with God. And we can't communicate holiness. We can't even do it with our children. A minister can't do it with his congregation. I would dearly love every soul in this house today to be on fire for God. But I can't communicate that fire. I would dearly love every soul in this congregation to be wholly given to God. But I can't communicate that holiness. I'd love the children to belong to the Lord out and out, but I can't do that. I would love the young people here to be solidly dedicated to the Lord and taking up the cross every day to follow Jesus. I would love those who are older in life and not to know better. I would love them all to be zealous for the Lord of hosts and to be able to say, not one day will go by, but I'll be reading my Bible and I'll be praying. I'll be following the Lord. I'll be witnessing for Him. I'll live for Him. I would to God that that were so. But I will take you by the hand. You can't communicate holiness to me, and I can't communicate holiness to you. But you and I could lead somebody else into sin. That's a sad thing. We can communicate uncleanness. We can communicate sin by our touch, but we can't communicate holiness. This is the lesson taught to Haggai by the Lord and by him to the priest. And this is the lesson in the picture, the word picture we have taken from Leviticus 11 today. There's the chameleon, or the lizard, or the spider, or the centipede. The little thing sickens and dies and falls off the shelf, down into the vessel. Look, the vessel should have had a covering. The covering should have been tied on it. That would have kept the vessel and the contents clean. And God requires the Christian to recognize the kind of world he's in. It's impossible but that there will be a lizard in the tent. Let the family be ever so careful. It is impossible in all the years in the wilderness, but some of these things will die. And the unclean body will touch the vessel if the vessel isn't covered. And the lesson is very clear. Let me spell it out. It's impossible for you to go through this world without sensing defilement. Without the uncleanness, listen carefully. Without the uncleanness of the world rubbing off on you. It is necessary for the earthen vessel especially to be kept covered. That there's a difference there, a separation between the clean and the unclean. Oh, let's have the lid in place and the lid well tied down, that the uncleanness of the world may be kept out. A very powerful lesson. There are wonderful pictures about the earthen vessel in the Bible. Now, this is one of them. There are other references through the law to the earthen vessel. And some of them are very touching and some of them are strange. But in every one, God has a message for the believer. This is one of those messages today. I pray God, the Lord will show us how the earthen vessel was different. Different even to the vessel of brass. That vessel of brass could be washed and made clean, but not the earthen vessel. It could be easily contaminated, you see. Much more easily contaminated. And once it's contaminated, it may be spoiled for good. Maybe a vessel that can't be used anymore. Do you know there are shipwrecks, just to change the figure? There are shipwrecks in this life. People who once held the Bible, once came to the prayer meeting, once sang the hymns, once walked with God, and they allowed some form of uncleanness to get in, something there that was of the world, something there that grieved the Lord. And now they can't be used. They're nowhere with God. There's something wrong. Keep that earthen vessel clean, the earthen vessel especially. This is the teaching of the chapter. Please see this. The earthen vessel especially can be so contaminated, so easily affected by uncleanness, far more than the vessel of brass or skin or raiment or anything. The vessel of earth is the worst. And God's saying, be very, very careful with your life. It can be so easily spoiled.